I am giving you practical difficulties. If anybody has done any dear brothers and sisters, you are all fortunate because you got the man body, the highest in all creation, next to God. The highest aim in man body is to know self and to know God. Ultimate goal of all knowledge is the knowledge of the self. Upanishads tell us what is that by knowing which everything else is known. For that, though there was real such yearning for this ideal before us, God makes arrangement to bring you in contact with somewhere where you can be put on the way back to God, which is within you. So body is the temple of God, true temple of God. But we find best thing is if a man is put on on the way, he should keep commandments literally. But it is mind, you know, mind defiles everything. Even if we are putting time for meditation, we find the difficulties that we cannot go on with that. And there are some things, impediments on the way, on the spiritual way. That, you know, everybody knows, but still to enumerate them, that has been found the subject of this talk. First of all, you see, we should stand on our own legs, be not dependent on anybody. For he tells us, O God, I must afford me that I may stand on my own legs. If I have to be dependent on others, it is better to take my soul from the body. To be dependent on others is a heinous crime. All evil creeping. For that he wanted honest earning. All masters have offered it. Guru Nanak refers to it, who earns his money in the honest way and shares with others. Such a man alone can know God. Whatever money is received to any dishonest means, that is the dishonesty. We got that thing creeping up in within ourselves. If money is earned by honest means, then you will find some rest, some peace. Further, whatever we take, whatever we eat, eat and drink has its own effect. If a dog is kept on vegetables, it is very amiable. If it is kept on meat, etc., then it will be howling and growling. So sattvic diet we have to take. And for that, you see, even if you take that, we have to watch through the hand through which that that person by whom it is cooked and by whom it is served, that also carries the effect of those to whose hands this diet has been, food has been prepared and served. All these things affect the man who eats it. You got honest meat, and those who prepare the food have been the sweet members of God, chaste thoughts, and you find that when you eat that, you can be calm within. And one more thing, such food is also prepared that will have its effect, but if you eat too much, that once is wanted, then what is the result? The diet which is digested will give you food, things which is not digested. That will bring in what is what you want. What is your written something? So diet has a great effect, you see. Eat less one morsel than you need. There has been an event with Prophet Muhammad. He had about 40 followers with him, and somebody attached one doctor to him so that if any man is both sick, he may be treated then and there. So the doctor remained with the party for 6 months, regularly nobody got sick. Then he went to Prophet Muhammad asking, well, I have been 6 months here. Nobody has got sick, so there's no need of my being here. He said, yes, so long as I've ordered of a good character, chaste thought, and hard work, and take one morsel less than they really need, then there can be no sick. You better go. So our earning should be on. That's the first step. It should not be the blood squeezed of others. What is yours, what is others. Don't usurp the rights of others. That's the first thing required. This thing will creep up many evil thoughts in you. So, this is the first thing. There was one Maharishi Shivratlal. One man came to him telling that I cannot sit on meditation for a long time. He said, look to your stomach. Then again another man came the same day to him and said, my mind does not, wanders away very much. Now look to your stomach. Then another man says, I cannot sit longer in meditation. My mind revels. He says, look to your stomach. So this is the first elementary step, which causes you, which stands as an impediment of the way you have been put up. Second thing, God has given rights, equal rights to everybody. Born the same way, out of conception, interconstruction the same. And we are in soul bodies. Soul is of the same essence as that of God. And God also is the same in everybody. We should have no hatred for anybody. One is standing on the table and one is sitting in the chair, in the chair. This due to our, as we have shown, so we have reached. Higher position or lower position, rich or poverty, richness or poverty. All these things depend on that. Sometimes man thinks, I am in power, or I am a very learned man. You hate others for these reasons. Because you are rich, because you are very learned, because you are a man of position. So these things, don't think humility is the only remedy for them. When they are all equal, you see, if you hate them, then how can you be God within you will receive you? So we are all equal. We are all brothers and sisters in God. This is the thing generally we feel. This can't know, I know what they are. But little things affect the reservoir of the our subconscious state of mind. And these react. Third thing is forgive and forget. I am giving you practical difficulties. If anybody has done any wrong to you, you say, all right, I have forgiven, but he doesn't forgive at heart. He's asking, what, when can he be retaliated? Forgive and forget. If you remember somebody has done this wrong, that wrong, then naturally that element of your retribution won't go. If any a child has done anything wrong, do you not forget? And one thing you see, each man has to work at it from his own level. Up to the level, up to his culture, he has developed. Suppose a primary man is there, then a college man is there, then can you expect for the primary man to talk up to the level of college? You must allow some, make some allowance. Try to understand what he says. So I told you, one thing is honest earning, pure diet, and fast food, baked food, served by men of great, sweet members of God. In the old days, mothers would not allow anyone to enter the kitchen where she was preparing the cook, I mean, food. Nobody entered. I may mention IT Agi, I mentioned to you when I was in as a counts officer attached to your regiment in the field area. One elderly was given to me to cook my food. So I told him, well, look here, and one thing you should see that so long as you are in the kitchen, you should go on reading some scriptures and sit in sweet members of God. No other thought should enter your mind. He said, all right. For 3 days he obeyed. Then whole day at night, at 12 or 1 o'clock you should rise. Something was wrong in my mind. I called him at 1 o'clock tonight. Well, come on, who was it in your kitchen today? He said, no sir, nobody was. Don't you lie. Then he said, yes, there was. He was talking about it. Do you think why we are not, we don't know this? Because we are already self-seeking. If little announces attitude is what most, but those who have got no fear, little thing of it. 1 gram also affects. So these are the things to see first thing. Just see how far we are going by that. This is what I found. And second thing, as I told you, on account of your being rich, or learned, or man of position, or man of possessions, we hate others. We allow a man of our own status. We think, oh, they're not good for our society. This hatred and heart, you see, affects your mind. Third thing is forgive and forget. After all, men are not of you. There's nature, you see. Each man will work according to his own level of thinking or development. You make him understand politely. But once it has been done, then forgive. forget all. You don't forget again and again that thought because he has done that, he has done that. That also poisons the mind and affects you. So fourth thing is chastity. Chastity of thought, word and deed. Even any unchaste thought enters your mind, you think of it. Your whole body is poisoned. Others do not know, you know. From head down to foot. Sometimes people say we do not do anything, simply enjoy and talk of such like things, you see, unchaste thoughts. Those very things affect. As I explained to you the other day, every thought has its effect. As you saw, that is found when you have done in a frivolous way or enjoyment's sake, that affects. So, the chastity of eyes. Don't look to others with dirty thoughts. Or any rancoring in your mind, you see. Any enmity and thinking whether he no good. And for the ears, don't hear anything ill about others. Because little thought comes to you, that will wake up trouble in you. Many things we do here, and that thing goes on and means what you wear the self-practice good. We get to doubt that man about his yourself. We may be honest. So for that reason, don't believe anything if anybody tells you that I've heard or I've seen. Unless you see for your own self, with your own ears and see with your own eyes. Then comes our chastity of tongue. Anything which is not of sort of character, you see, you become fond of it being very delicious, then that will affect your stomach. So the chastity of everything, of the outgoing faculties, eyes like that, ears like that, and tongue like that, you see, and the skin also. So these little things are really deep infection from other people. That's the main thing. Chastity in itself is a blessing. As I told you, married life, according to the scriptures, is no bar to spirituality. It is companionship. It is sacrament, not content. God has given you one companion to help each other on the earth, his children, to know God. It means our own. And are we getting children when I want it? So life is self-sustained in such blessing. Those who teach their feet blessing in their body. The chastity has its own thought by radiation the other day, as I was telling you. Each thought has its own color, its own fragrance, odor. Beware, thoughts are more very potent. This is the fourth thing. We are just in there all virtues abode in you. Your mind at rest, when I use it, your problem is wonderful. Then one more thing, fifth one is, don't work as the apprentices of the CID of God. You follow me? CID means confidential. Department of God. He's like that, he's like that, he's like that. You're always looking after that. God is there too. If you've got any friend here and he's got something wrong, you may tell him politely, privately, maybe friend, this is no good. You'll spoil your life, I love for you, that's another thing. But don't broadcast like a playing rabbit, mouse, go around them. So those who find out the others say, well, look here, you understand what is complex? You know how wonderful I am. You want to let others say that you are wonderful. These are the based on the depth in your heart, what is lying out of the abundance of heart and man. See, so this generally we are doing. So for this reason, don't think evil of anyone. Because as you think, so you become. You are always thinking he is bad, he is bad, he is bad, that you have infection of that in you. In Japan, some missionary went first. I read one book, Fourth Heart, My Infection, somewhere when I was in school. That stated that missionary went to Japan and preached the first one commandment of Moses. Don't strike your woman. People were living very innocent lives. They asked, is it in your country they beat the woman? Then after 1 year speaking, result was they began to beat the woman. Not they began, one man came, sir, you see, a man, some sort of preachers of the temple society I have seen, I tell you. Though the former speaker, don't drink, but privately they do the thing. Don't drink, all the time you are thinking of drinking, is not. Maybe word don't there, but drinking is there. Then you say, oh, let me see what it is out. So as you think, so you become. Further, we criticize others. We should criticize ourselves as we criticize them. Mind your own business. If you got friendship with somebody, you love him, tell him why you don't do it. What more can you do? Unless a man at heart of heart feels that he has not done wrong, he won't follow you. Man will go by the dictates of his mind. If his mind is convinced that this is wrong, what the other says, then you listen to him. Otherwise, not. So, wanted reformers, not of others, but of themselves. Reform your own self. You'll reform many men around you. People judge by what you see you. Not by the words you stretch or preach. So example is better than to check. These are what you should do, that you see you are given a diary for that. Criticize yourself as you criticize others and put in the failures and need out. Don't say, simply say, I am a sinner. You become a sinner, God knows. If you beat up by the way, then it's all right. For that you have to keep dying. These are six things which stand in the way of our future way. And there are some points constructive that help us on the way. Both things should be known. You know, mind defiles everything. A thought, as I just mentioned to you, thought of lust defiles all body from head down to foot. A good thought permeates your whole body. A thought of love permeates your body. So let the mind be not wakened. That's the remedy for that. A wakened mind is the home of devil. Keep it occupied in your work, our sweet remembrance of God. There's one thing helping that way is do one thing at a time, holy and solemn. There's a table there, so there are so many drawers. Open one drawer and they tend to be full. Then close down that drawer, then open the other drawer. Then attend to it fully, then open the third drawer. You see? Not two or three things hovering on your mind. This is the remedy for that. If you read the greatness like you, learn many things. Napoleon Bonaparte. The next day following there is what to do. Better to park. The night before at 1 o'clock, Hotel is writing the proceedings of primary school. You see? Our self-composed ego. There is something also, someone which makes them great, you see? In the morning, when the battle of Waterloo was to be fought, that was fought at 9 or 10, and it was about 8 o'clock, he was stalling in the compound where he was living. Some minister was here, there, hovering around. What are you after? Sir, the battle is to fought at 9. Oh, that is at 9, I done that now. So do one thing at a time, completely, holy, sorry. And you'll find you'll save many trouble. Suppose one man comes to you to talk. You attend him only little and leave him, not to be attended. Then you wait another man comes to you. You also attend him for a little while and then don't attend him fully. Then third man comes, then the fourth man comes. The same you meet out with them. The result is all are hovering on you. You think they won't want to be satisfied. So whatever thought strikes you, attend to it fully, decide one way or the other finally. How many problems you got today? Don't say one or two. This is so many problems are heaped together. Something you think of that, something like that, something like that. They're hovering on you. This you I learned from Bonaparte life. Do one thing at a time. John Bunyan, perhaps he written Blue Progress, you might have seen that book, that's a good book. His motto was to write something daily. He wrote his Blue Progress. There was another man, by telling him by name, his motto was finish something daily. Yeah. That I took to my guide, you see. Finish something daily. Whatever you take, finish it. Maybe take 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, when it's quiet, quiet, just like you go to bed. Next morning, you're looking at it. Otherwise, the work which is left incomplete, that hovering you in your mind throughout night, then you will have to attend this and that. These are very little things that will help us, you see. Keep your mind occupied always. In work, when you are at work, be fully occupied in work, work is working. When you eat, be fully in your eating. Because that is gift of God, thank God. Your attention in eating, that eating will also give you good result. Sometimes you are started somewhere, you tell your the master, you don't know how much you have eaten, you see. So when you are at, what you say, as you practice, you fully at practice. These are the things that affect us, you see. And that telling you what constructive things help us. Now once more, man is the highest in all creation. All creation has been made subservient to you. all are lower than you, animal, bird, reptile. Now you have to see, laws of nature you are controlling, you see. Man is next to God, so have reverence for all. God is high in everyone, whether high or low. Have reverence for all who are over you, above you. Reverence for all who are around you. Reverence for all who are beneath. If your hand have departed, love your companion. When I was an officer, you see, I was a superintendent, an officer, let's be promoted officer. Those who work under me. You see, officers only please if you work, you turn it more. Immediately sacrifice of those who work under me. They are all hungry, subordinate. In my case, the subordinates will also please and the officers will also please. Why? I teach them my right as well. Reverence for them. And they turned out twice the amount of the work which others did not do. And quietly and friendly. These are the practical things to see what has to. So you are the head of all the.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Satsang for Master Kripal Singh. This morning, our reader is Joan Burge. Are you there, Joan?
Yes, I am.
Okay, carry on.
Okay. This talk was given by the master at the American Legion Hall, Fairfax, Virginia, September 25th, 1972, and it's from a Satsang Desh, December 1972. All masters who have come bring the religion of love. They say that there is a maker of all this creation, and he is the controlling power in all this creation. And that same power is controlling you in your body. God is love. Our soul is of the same essence as that of God. It has love innate in itself. And the way back to God is also through love. In the Bible is given the same thing. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Kabir and all other masters have said the same thing. So we are conscious entities. We have to love all consciousness. The attribute of love is that we have to identify with the object of our love, wherever our love is attached. So, we have to attach our love to God, but instead, we are attached to the whole world outside. That is what is called attachment. So, masters say that the man body is the highest in all creation. And the highest aim on the whole earth is to know God. They say that while on the earth there is the law of cause and effect, wherever we are attached, we will go. Now, as it is, we have come back again and again to this earth. If we had love for God, we would have gone back to God after leaving the body. So we must have that, you see, in this earthly life. If you develop love for God, naturally, after death, you will go to whom you are attached. If we are attached to the world outside, all over, then we will have to come back again and again. So masters tell us, love God, each in his own language, of course. The 10th guru of the Sikhs addresses all social bodies, all religious movements. Hear ye, I tell you the truth. Whomsoever has love, he can know God. Now love knows service and sacrifice. Love knows no burden. Where there is love, there is no burden. So we have to love God, and God resides in every heart. and we are of the same essence as God. We are all brothers and sisters in God. Love is such an attribute. If you put it into your household affairs, there will be peace. If you put it into your society, there will be peace there. If you put an ounce of love into your country, there will be peace in the country. So love is the panacea for all ills, I would say. Love knows giving, you see. It knows sacrifice. Kabir says, so long as you are in the man body, give, give, give. The word for body in his language also means to give. So it is said, as long as you are in the body, give, give, and give. Giving away is true renunciation. So if we have love, we must give to others the best we can. If you make others happy, then you will be happy yourself. If you make others miserable, then you also will not be able to escape the misery. So once it so happened that Lord Vishnu, who is the aspect of God in charge of maintenance, invited all the angels and others of opposite qualities to a feast, and he arranged for them to sit in rows facing each other. Then Vishnu said, well, dear brothers, dear friends, all this is for you. Eat to your heart's content. But there is one condition laid down. Don't bend your elbows. Those who were only demons, or whatever you want to call them, thought, well, strange enough, if we don't bend our elbows, how can we put the food in our mouths? They considered it for long, but they could not comprehend it. They said, Lord Vishnu is just mocking us, refused to eat anything and left the place in disgust. But the angels who were sitting there said, these are the words of Lord Vishnu. There must be meaning behind them, something we don't follow. After calm consideration, it struck them. We can feed each other. So it was very easy, and all ate as directed. What does all this mean? If we make others happy, we will become happy. If we put others in bad condition, we will be put in bad condition. So, if we want to be happy, we must make others happy. And moreover, you will find, once a devotee prayed to God, please come to my home. My prayer is, you will please visit my home. God promised, I will come on such and such a date. The devotee made all arrangements, you see, decorated his house with flowers, cleaned it throughout, and put on really clean clothes. He sat at the door and waited for God. From morn to night, he sat there. But all who came was one old man passing by who could not even walk properly. The old man said to him, well, I am hungry. Give me some food. Half a loaf of bread, please give me. Nobody listened, so he passed on. That night the devotee said to God, look here, you promised and you never came. I made all arrangements for you. But God said, I did come. And you would not even give me a half a loaf of bread. So God resides in every heart. No heart is without him. We are all brothers and sisters in God. If we give to others, we will become happy. We want to keep everything to our own selves. The result is that everyone wants to keep everything to his own self. This is attachment. And the result? Misery. All are unhappy. So those who are hungry, give them something to eat. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. If they cannot stand on their legs, then help them stand on their legs. It would be good. If it is good for you, would it not be good for others too? Truly speaking, we are all brothers and sisters in God. We are of the same essence as that of God, and God who resides in everybody. He is the controlling power within you. So if you love, well, love is God. God is love, and the way back to God is also through love. So parables are pregnant with meaning, you see. They mean something. They are meant for those of average intellect. If we are more intellectual, then it is given direct. Share with others, please. You see, the point is, God is light, and he resides in every heart. Take heed that the light which is within you is not darkness. Have you read the Bible? So any home where the light is lit, it looks very beautiful, does it not? If there is no light in the house, and it is dark, then? So bodies in which the light is effulgent, in which the covers are shaken off, and the light is effulgent, because it is there already, of course, but covered, that face and body becomes beautiful. Masters say, that face is beautiful in which God is effulgent. That light shoots forth through the eyes. Whatever is there inside will come out through the eyes. If there is darkness, then darkness will come out. If there is light within, then naturally you will have light. When that light is within me, then naturally it will shoot forth to others. So who is alive in the world? Guru Nanak says, only he is alive, O Nanak, in whom the light of God is effulgent. All others are dead. This is the definition of being alive in the terminology of the saints. Only he is alive, O Nanak, in whom the light of God is effulgent. Do you know what the highest ideal is in the social body you have joined, the labels of which you are wearing? Among the Sikhs, the highest ideal is to become a Khalsa. Khalsa means he who has got the full light of God effulgent within him, and he sees it. Otherwise, he may be having the outward labels of Sikhism, but he is not a true Sikh. He has only joined that social body to have that light. Who is a Hindu? He who lights the candles outside and rings the bells? He should light the candles within. It is already lit, you see. Simply the covering is there. We simply have to withdraw the attention from outside. We don't have to light it again new, you see. Just shake off the coverings. This is possible only by withdrawing our attention from outside. Tap inside. Rivet your whole attention to that which enlivens your body, which is you. It is your own consciousness that makes you see all the world over. If you withdraw your attention, you will contact that direct. I am looking at you all, not looking behind. Unless I look behind, I cannot see what is there. Unless we recede from outside, we cannot see light. But if you do it, you will find light. That is why the masters enjoin, take heed that the light within you is not darkness. All glory and beauty lie within you. Why, O man, are you going astray? In the Quran, it is said, I am hidden within you. Why don't you find me? And we go to find him outside. The one who comes to a saint, he is advised what? To go inside. Withdraw from outside. He says, if you can go inside and rise above body consciousness, you will have an experience of those very statements which are given out in the scriptures. What do scriptures contain? What the masters have seen. What they have seen, they have put in there for the benefit of the child humanity. So it is love, you see. Mohammedans have seen the light of God. Christ also has seen the light of God. You may be wearing any label, but unless you have got that God's light effulgent within you, take heed that the light which is within you is not darkness. That is the only way. Why don't we find the light within us? Because our love is occupied outside in the world. We must direct our attention. Attention is the expression of our soul, the essence of which is love. When our whole attention is directed within, love meets that. So all masters say, love. You see, we have to leave the body. All saints, all incarnations, all philosophers and great beings did have the man body, and they did leave. And you also have to leave someday. I don't think you have made any special arrangement not to go. So we have to leave the body. It is the first companion we have when we enter the world, but when we go, it does not accompany us. So what are we doing? It does not mean that you should not maintain your bodies, or that you should not pay off your debts to those members of your family with whom God has united you. It means that that is not the end all. After all, we have to go. You see, in the man body, we are bound within certain limits and free within certain limits. We have to square up all debts with those with whom we are connected as a result of reactions of the past. When those debts are paid off, we have to depart. Some come as sons, some as sisters, some as daughters, some as wives. There is a give and take. And when that is finished, then we have to go. Take the example of a train, you see. So many people gather together from different stations. When the train stops, some leave the train, others rush in. And if you make friends with those who are on the train, will it last long? No. For the time being, as long as they are with you, if you have sweet words, kind words, you will be friendly. And the few hours on the journey will pass all okay. If you are fighting, then. So we have to leave the body. And what are we doing? As we sow, so shall we reap. We are striking up friendships with the outside things. We are amassing things outside like anything. It is like we are, excuse me if I use the word, mad. It is sad. There is a parable the masters tell that has a very pregnant meaning. They say that God had four species left to whom he had not given the number of years they were to have on earth. One was man, one was donkey, the third was dog, and the fourth was owl, you see. He called for a man and said, "Look here, I'm sending you to the world. What will be my fate? You will be the head of all creation. You will be next to me." "For how long, sir?" 20 or 25 years. "That's not enough. Can't you give me more life?" "All right, wait. We will just see. If life is left over from the others, we will give it to you." Then came the donkey. God said, "I'm sending you to the world. What will be my fate?" "Well, you will be bearing burdens continually, here and there, that's all." "How long?" 25 years, 30 years. "I will be killed. Dear sir, give me less." So he gave him 10 to 12 years, and the remainder he gave to the man. He said, "Yes, you are getting more, you see." Then the third one, dog, came up. God said, "Well, we are sending you to the world." "Sir, what is my duty there?" "You will be guarding your master's home, always half asleep, half awake. You will let nobody enter the building. You will bark at everybody." "How long will this be, sir?" 20, 25 years. "My lord, for God's sake, give me less." So he was given some 10 years or so, and the rest was given to the man, who was so fortunate to have it. And then came the fate of the owl. "We are sending you to the world. What will be my fate?" "You won't be able to see during the day. Only at night can you see. During the day, you will be dependent on others." For how long? Well, 10 or 12 years. I won't be able to see during the day. Give me less, please. All right. And the rest he gave to man. Now you see what we are doing. Consider calmly. When we are about 20 or so, we are on our own legs. We are starting our family. We are a man. As we grow beyond that stage, this malady is upon us, amassing things, making our house like a storehouse, purchasing things from the store, carrying them back and forth. We buy dozens of unnecessary things. That is the period of the donkey. He is enjoying, you see. Then he grows older. He has children who do not obey him. He is calling names, howling and growling like anything, guarding what he has stored up. That is the stage of the dog, you see. And when he becomes old, he cannot see well. He is dependent on others, no one to care for him. He is simply at their mercy, and if they give him something or not, he says all right, because he is dependent. This is the stage of the owl. So this is our fate. Man body is the highest in all creation. We should be more loving. Love God, and all things shall be added unto you. We love the world, and all things are not added. But of course, of those that are there, not a single thing goes along with you. Even the body that you bring as your first companion, even that does not go along with you. How will all the other things you have got? So masters say, look here, brother, you should do what? Earn your money with the sweat of your brow by honest means, and just make yourself stand on your own legs and others who are connected with you. And also, if possible, let others share. Man is one who shares with others, is of use to others. Animals are of use to their own selves and their families. If we also behave like that, then we are no better. One saint says, look to the face of the animals. God has made it pointing down toward the ground. If they are attached to the world, it is all right. But, O man, your face is upward. Look upward to God. So to earn money is all right. But that money should be earned to let you stand on your own legs. Pay off all debts to those connected with you by God as a reaction of the past, and also share with others who are needy, who are hungry, who are in bad condition. If you have love for God, won't you give everything to others? Because we congeal everything to ourselves, you see. The result is selfishness, tyranny, sucking the other man's blood, is it not? Just as the parable shows, don't bend your elbows. I think if you would do like that, you would eat more if others put in your mouth, is it not? So the main object in the man body is to know God. What we are doing is just like a man caught in conscription, you see. He has to work from morn to night. He is of no use to his own self. And no use to his household. Conscription. You have to work all day, but not for your own self, not for those connected to you. But when you go all alone. The impressions of the world go along with you. And wherever you are attached, you will go to that very place. If you are attached to the world, you will have to come back to the world. If you have sucked anyone's blood now in the next birth, he then sucks your blood. On the surface, it may seem to be, he is being wrong with me, he is a tyrant, he is cruel. But who knows what is the reaction of the past, you see? So things happen like that, but then God's grace descends, because man body is the golden opportunity in which we can know God. And the one on whom his grace and compassion descends, he is brought in contact with someone who can open his inner eye to see the God in him, the light which is already innate in him. All covers he shakes off. And he who has been able to shake off these covers, he is fortunate. When God descends, that is his grace to you, because in man body only we can know God. This is what is meant by love. Live always giving, giving, giving. You won't lose, you see. Mind that. The more you give, the more you will have. The more we congeal everything to ourselves, you see, the more miserable we are. So masters always advise first, stand on your own legs by the sweat of your brow, honest means. Because if you squeeze the blood of others, naturally the reaction will come. They will also squeeze your blood someday. On the face of it, it appears somebody is just giving you trouble, squeezing your blood. We have done nothing in this life to deserve it. So it is a reaction of the past. And moreover, these contacts are for a temporary period to wind up all give and take, just as you go on the train. When your station comes, you jump down. Others may be dragging you, but you don't remain on the train, do you? Similarly, when the give and take is up, the man has to go. Whether all are crying or not, wishing you could remain, no, you cannot, you see. But the angle of vision changes when you see that light of God within you. You do see what is to happen because your vision is clear. Now, in our present state, the angle of vision is not clear. We say, this wrong has been done to me. This is my friend, this and that. But what did Christ say? Those who do the will of my Father, they are my relatives, mother and brother. All others, brothers, sisters, are only for the purpose of give and take. So that body is beautiful in which God is effulgent. You know, among the Christians, when a man dies, his face and body are decorated like anything, to keep it for a day or two. But it is a dead body. The life is no more with it. You see, unless that light is lit within you, there is darkness there. How you maintain and beautify your body? Man spends hundreds and thousands of dollars to make himself beautiful. It is just like ornamenting a dead body. This is the angle of vision from which the masters see. They love you all. They want us to love God. Love God, and all things shall be added unto you. You see, this is in all the scriptures. How pregnant with meaning they are. Love God, and God resides in every heart. Love knows giving. So long as you go on giving, 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 you will have no enemies, nothing of the sort. So love knows service, and if need be, sacrifice also. Do you want others' homes to be beautiful? If everyone wants others' homes to be beautiful, will not your home be beautiful? Very simple. Love others. That is why I say, love thy neighbor as thyself. And love means giving, service, sacrifice. And you will go where you are attached. If you love God and all humanity for the sake of the God in them, you wish all your brothers success in him for his sake, then you are not the doer. You will go back to God because you have done all this for the sake of God. So while in the world, as I told you, man is one who is of use to others. An animal also looks to himself and his children. He fights with others. If we do the same thing, then are we not worse than animals? God expects you to be more. He made your face upward. So this is one thing. If you love God, all things shall be added unto you. God resides in every heart. You will love all, even animals, even birds. Once in the days of Lord Buddha, there was one hunter who sent up an arrow and hit the wing of a bird and made it limp so that it could not fly. And the bird went up to the Buddha, because man radiates whatever is in him, and love was in him, and the bird came up. So the Buddha took him and put him under his arm and said, this bird is mine. The hunter said, no, it is mine. But the Buddha said, If it had been yours, it would have gone to you. Do you follow? Those who radiate love, everybody will be yours. But our love should not be acting and posing. Our thoughts are very potent. They are radiated. Others do know at heart what you are doing. So he who has got love for all. They wish good for all. Guru Nanak said, peace be unto all the world over under thy will, O Lord. We want peace? This is the question put to me the other day on television. How can we have peace? As long as we are stuck to our own selves, to our families, to our isms, unless we rise above all these, how can we have peace? So if you love God, and no matter what labels you are wearing, you rise above them and become a man with the light of God within you, then will you love everybody or not? There will be peace. We don't have peace because we are first congealed to our own physical bodies, then to our own families, then to our own societies, then to our own countries. So unless people rise above these isms, and all countries, I would also say, there can be no peace. Love and all things shall be added unto you. Our homes, society, everything shall be happy. Because we are man, we must turn to man, you see. All isms are schools of thought which man has joined to become perfect man. Man is perfect in essence, but he has to realize that. And this is what the masters do. They do a great service, I tell you. Those who are awakened, they do. And they don't ask anyone to remove their labels, you see. They say, it's all right, remain where you are. That is the first step we have to take. We are social beings and we must have social bodies to live in. But which school is better? A school may have very high halls, magnificent playgrounds, beautifully dressed students, but if no student comes out successful, all these social religions are not meant to turn out perfect men. That preparation will come only when you love God. God resides in every heart, so naturally you will love all. If you radiate love, even the birds will love you. Even the snakes will love you. Do and see. Thoughts are very potent. Mind that. That ends our reading for the day, and we thank you, Master, for everything and for always being there with all feasible help and protection. Thank you.
Thank you, Joan, for the wonderful reading. Excuse me a minute. I'll do a count. So today we had 73 people at the satsang. Thank you everybody for attending, and thank you Master for providing this for us. Now please hang up your phone.